All right, good morning. Wonderful, wonderful song. America is the greatest nation on earth. And for some Americans, those who were born here, I think that is taken for granted. But for those of us who were accepted by this country, we're blessed and grateful for what America has done for us and for our family. So happy Independence Day on Tuesday. And I'll make sure that you don't hold the firecrackers too long. All right? You'll regret it. I don't know who provided the floral arrangements, but they're beautiful. And I appreciate it. We appreciate it. And what's your first name again? With the red and white check. West. And what's the name of the instrument that you play?
Tuba.
The tuba. I was just thinking, if you had to have a long concert of an hour, I don't know how you'd be able to hold it that long. But good job. And by the way, I love your socks, so it matches the shirt. So. All right, I'm serious, I'm not joking, but they're laughing, but I appreciate it. I was reading your program this morning, and the last sentence really spoke to my heart. We're greatly privileged in this nation, and we are responsible to use our liberty wisely and faithfully in obedience to the Word of God. Liberty and the Word of God go hand in hand. And I thank God that in His providence, He led brave men and women to come to the United States and make this country be planted on the foundation of the Word of God. And sometimes we are duped into thinking that God has somehow forgotten America. But it's people like you and I who need to make sure that we continue to tell the world that this nation was founded under God, and God still has His hand upon the United States. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. We need to make sure that as Christians, we continue to hold the bloodstained banner of Christ high and let the world know that we still believe that God founded this country and still has a purpose for the United States. So I just want to wish you happy independence on Tuesday when it comes. I thought about the fact that this is Independence Day weekend, and I wanted to speak to you in a practical way this morning with the thought and the idea of not taking God's goodness to this country and to our personal lives for granted. And so I took my text from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. I'm going to ask that you turn to Romans 12, 1 and mark that, and then we'll start in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're a very blessed people, and deep down in our hearts, we would love to live lives that would manifest or appreciation for the blessings that God has given to us. And sometimes we fall short. And that's kind of the theme that I want to talk to you about this morning. So our text is going to be taken from 1 Corinthians 15, 58. If you've found your places, let's just stand for a couple minutes, please, and look at that passage, look at that verse, and ask God's blessing on the message. If you have a difficult time standing, don't worry about it. That's okay. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our Father, I pray this morning that you would be with Louise, be with Brother Jim, be with the family. The reason I'm here is because they're not able to be here. And so right at this moment, I pray that you would comfort them and give them the assurance that they're in your will. And I pray that you'd extend your hand on Louise's life and touch her. May her life bring honor and glory to thee, I pray. Bless this time as we look into thy word. Pray that the Spirit of God might fill me, speak through me, because on my own I can do nothing. Stir us and challenge us this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, throughout the Word of God, there are several passages and chapters that focus on just one topic. And if we take the time to study these passages, we can glean a wealth of knowledge and insight and understanding and information as to what God would have us to know about that particular topic. I think of Proverbs chapter 31 that goes into detail as to the attributes of a virtuous woman. I think of John chapter 17 where we can read Jesus' priestly or high priestly prayer. There's a misconception that the prayer that is found in the book of Matthew that begins, "Our Father which art in heaven," that has been misconceived into believing that it's the Lord's Prayer. But the Lord's Prayer is actually found in John chapter 17. That's his high priestly prayer. And when we want to learn about how Jesus spoke to the Father, we can get great insight from that one passage. Psalm 119 has 176 verses. And only two verses out of that 176 eliminate a reference to the Word of God. So when we want to understand what the Word of God can do for us, Psalm 119 is a passage to go to. When we want to understand penitent praying, we go to Psalm 32 or Psalm 51. And we can understand that when we have failed the Lord, others have also. And this type of prayer that shows godly sorrow, that leads to repentance, can be prayed just like David prayed. And God will forgive us and heal our hearts and souls. Such is the case in our passage today, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The theme of this chapter is the resurrection. The topic of this chapter is the resurrection. And Paul talks about the importance of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. The resurrection is the integral part of all our salvation. Because without the resurrection, we have no salvation. Jesus Christ is the only Savior who has conquered death. And because of that, he has a full and free pardon for you and I that can only not only forgive us of our sins, but also give us eternal life. Paul talks about the proof of the resurrection in that he was seen by hundreds after he rose from the dead. He talks about the power of the resurrection in that because Jesus lives, we shall live also. And he even gives us a glimpse in this passage as to what our resurrection bodies are going to be like. Part of that we just read in our scriptural reading for this morning. So we have an entire chapter here dedicated to this one chapter of the resurrection. And he closes the chapter by reminding us how all of this ends. He says in verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, I thank the Lord for DVRs. 30 years ago, we didn't have that kind of stuff. So if you missed a football game, tough luck. You ask your buddy. But now we can DVR it, sometimes even from our phones, in another country to make sure that when we come home we can watch the game. And so if it's a playoff or a team that I'm really rooting for, I avoid people because I know they're going to give me the score. I don't want to know the score. That's why I put it on DVR. Well, folks, Jesus has given us the score. He has given us the outcome of this entire thing in verse 57. We have victory in Christ. We have won. And so he gets to verse 58, and he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren." And the word "therefore" means, based on all that I have written in this entire chapter, based on all that you have read in this entire chapter, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And when I look at that verse, I get the understanding that the verse is saying, be ye determined, be ye dependable, be ye dedicated when it comes to the things of Christ. Why? Because you know that your labor is not going to be in vain in the Lord. In other words, all that you do has a purpose. And you know without a doubt that God is going to reward you in the end. So as I look at that verse this morning, one word comes to mind. And I believe this one word summarizes 1 Corinthians 15:58, and it's the word consistency. Consistency. And this is a word that I've heard hundreds of times, where people have come to me and say, you know, Hugh, I find that my most difficult struggle in my Christian life is consistency. I believe the Word of God. I believe that all of God's Word is contained in the 66 books of my Bible. I believe the doctrines of the faith, and I stand upon them. I have full assurance of my salvation, and I have no doubt that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But when it comes to doing something specific for Christ, or when it comes to my prayer life, or when it comes to my private time in God's Word, or time to meditate on the things of God, or my memorization of Scripture, or witnessing to others, or attending church as regularly as I should, or tithing, or my overall daily walk with the Lord, I struggle with inconsistency. And here is the irony. People who say that are not nominal Christians. These are brothers and sisters in Christ who love the Lord, who genuinely have a desire to live for Him and to please Him and to live in that obedience that we read about in the program. But so often time and schedules and family and responsibilities and circumstances and maybe bad habits subtly sneak into our lives and disrupt our consistency. Anybody here ever heard the name James Lawrence? Anybody? James Lawrence? I'm going to tell you who he is. He's listed in the Guinness Book of World Records because in 2012, he completed 30 Ironman triathlons in 11 countries during 1 year. Now, I'd be satisfied with just completing one of those things in a lifetime, wouldn't you? So somebody will say, well, what is an Ironman triathlon? An Ironman triathlon is swimming 2.4 miles and then riding a bicycle for 112 miles and then running a full marathon, which is 26.2 miles, I think, one right after the other. It's not over a week's period of time. You've got to be crazy to do something like that. But James Lawrence did this 30 times in 11 countries in 1 year. And so he was entered in to the Guinness Book of World Records. But this guy, he wasn't satisfied. And so he took upon himself the goal of completing 50 Ironman triathlons in 50 days in 50 states. And he completed it. He averaged 4.5 hours of sleep per night. Several of his toenails fell out. He had severe blisters on his feet and between his legs. And several times he fell off his bike because he fell asleep while he was riding the bicycle. He said, I couldn't fall asleep when I was running, and I couldn't fall asleep when I was swimming. But sometimes as I was riding the bicycle and I'd be coasting downhill, I'd fall asleep and fall off the bicycle. And so he would get bruised and bumped, but he'd get up, get back on the bike, and he'd take off again. And so as I read on, I found the reason why he did something like this. He did it because of the challenge, and he did it because he could raise money to buy food for the poor. Now, when I read that, I said to myself, that's an example of consistency. Amen? And I looked in my own life, and I said, man, for a challenge and to buy food for the poor, I couldn't do that. But when I compare it to my life in terms of my consistency for the Lord, I've fallen way short. Now, this guy, James Lawrence, he just didn't up one day and decide to do this. It had to take planning, and it had to take discipline, and it had to take support. So he had doctors with him, he had his wife with him, he had nutritionists with him, he had people who ran with him from time to time to encourage him. But most importantly, James Lawrence had to make a conscious decision before he took on this goal. And as I thought about that, I began to study the lives of people in the Bible. I read biographies of great Christian men and women in history, as well as I thought of people that I have known who have demonstrated this quality of consistency, people I've known personally. And I discovered that they all had certain factors in common. Number one, they knew without a doubt that Jesus Christ was their Savior. They had no doubt that they were Christians, that they were born again. Nobody can really live this type of consistency without being born again by the Spirit of God. Good works can make you stay consistent. The second thing I found about these people in terms of a consistent factor was that none of them was perfect. And the people that I knew personally, as I got to know them more closely, more intimately, I saw their faults. And so, even though they had these flaws and imperfections, they were all consistent and God's power was upon their life. The third factor that I found was that they all have had problems in their lives. They didn't live a life of ease. They had difficulties, disappointments, tragedies, pain, sorrow, severe complications. But their consistency remained unshakable, and their faith became even stronger because of these difficulties. And then the fourth factor that I found is that they all reminded me of a lighthouse. You know, a lighthouse never makes a noise. It just shines. Think about that. Kind of goes along with empty barrels make the most noise. They didn't toot their own horn, in other words. They just lived their lives consistent to the Lord. And so I said to myself, this is how I want my life to be. And if I get the opportunity, I want to share some thoughts with people who can be challenged to increase their consistency for the Lord. And so this morning I want to share three essentials with you that will help to improve our consistency. Practical thoughts for those of us who struggle with this dilemma. The first one is, if we're going to be consistent for the Lord, we have to be dedicated. There has to be dedication. And this is where Romans 12, 1 and 2 comes in. Those two verses come in. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there just to follow along with me. Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So, as I look at this verse, I find that there's a verb in there, and that verb is present. So again, I thought in my own life, and I said, you know, we have to start from the very beginning, and the very beginning has to be salvation in Jesus Christ. Is there a time, or has there been a time that you can pinpoint that I went from darkness to light? Has there ever been a time when you remember specifically asking the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sins, to let him know that you believe that he died for you and rose again, and receive him into your heart by faith? And I look back in my life and I remember that. It was January the 1st, 1977. No doubt about that. I can go back in my life and pinpoint that. But then for those who want to be consistent, for those who want to be really serious about living for the Lord, serious about serving the Lord, then there must also be a specific time when Romans 12:1 was a reality in your life, was a reality in my life. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present. That word present is a verb, meaning it's an action. And the definition is to formally offer something, to submit something to someone. That's what it means to present. This means that an individual has to exercise his or her free will, deliberately submitting something to someone else. And the Bible says that that something is our body. Beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. So the recipient of this presentation is the Lord. And the comparison that's given in this verse is the sacrifice. Present yourselves, present your bodies a living sacrifice. So he was referring to the Old Testament sacrifice of the lamb that was dead, that was placed on the altar to become a sacrifice. The difference is that we are not a dead sacrifice, we are a living sacrifice. So the question is, can you look back in your life, can I look back in my life, and pinpoint a specific time that we specifically presented our bodies to Christ? Specifically said, Lord, at this moment I dedicate my life completely to you. Have your will and way in my life and make it bring honor and glory to you. Something along those lines. My personal belief is that there has to be a specific time when we present our bodies. It doesn't have to be in church, it can be anywhere. But just like how there's a specific time that we receive Jesus as Savior, there must be a specific time that Romans 12:1 is a reality in our lives. That's the first step. I remember in 1977, I trusted Christ, and then later on that year at our church, we had a missions conference, and a missionary preached. And man, that message spoke to my heart, and I walked forward, and I said a prayer similar to that. Lord, I am, how old was I? 23. I'm just a young man. I wasn't 23 yet. I was still 22. I'm a young man. I don't know what my life has in store for me. I don't know what you want to do, but at this point, I surrender my life to you. I'm taking my hands off, and I want Romans 12:1 to be a reality in my life. And I have to tell you the truth. My life completely changed. It was completely altered. A series of events took place after that that resulted in blessings beyond my wildest dreams. But then there were several trials that came into my life. And trials are always God's tools that he uses to mold us, to make us more like Jesus Christ. And I buckled. I buckled under the trials. And so because I was a living sacrifice and not a dead sacrifice, I crawled off the altar. I exercised my will and chose to take back what I had presented to God in 1977. And I tell you, that's a miserable way to live. And if you ever talk to a crawler, they'll tell you, to know that you once had dedicated your life to the Lord, but you took it back. Nobody should live like that, but I did. But I thank God we serve a God of second chances. And several years ago, a missionary came to our church and he preached that morning, and that message spoke to me. And at the end of the message, you know, my assignment in church is to stand up front to receive people who walk forward, whether it's for salvation or prayer. And here I am standing at the front of the church, and my heart isn't right. And God spoke to me, and I turned around. As I turned to come to the altar, I saw my wife coming down the aisle. So God not only spoke to me, he spoke to her from the same message. And we knelt at the altar, and we rededicated our lives to the Lord. We placed our lives back on that altar and prayed that prayer once again. Lord, we take our hands off our lives, and they are yours. Just use our lives for your honor and glory. And I cannot begin to tell you the blessings that God has given to us since that day. So Romans 12:1, that dedication has to be a reality if we're going to start that process of consistency. Full surrender means that my life is defined by my relationship with Jesus Christ. So the first step, dedication. Second, there will be direction. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's direction. In other words, the change of our minds and the change of our thinking is going to help us to understand God's direction for our lives. And then the Word of God will take on more value and more meaning and more importance because of the reality that we have to be prepared when God says, this is the direction I want you to go in. It's just like Usain Bolt. Anybody know Usain Bolt? Hey, he's from Jamaica. He has to be prepared. If he's going to win in a couple weeks in London, he cannot be out gallivanting. He has to be prepared. And for those of us who want God to use our lives for his glory, we have to make sure we're always prepared so that when the door of opportunity opens, we can step through. And that is why the Word of God has more value, has more meaning, has more importance. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So it increases our consistency, especially in the area of spending time in the Word of God, in meditating on the Word of God, in memorizing the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that's going to begin to direct our lives. And nothing fosters consistency like purpose. When God begins to direct our lives, we have purpose. And nothing fosters consistency like purpose. And God has a purpose for every one of us. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God has a purpose for all of us. But he's not going to start revealing his purpose until we're dedicated to him. So I have a reason to walk. I have a reason to live. I have a reason to get up every morning. And when I say I mean we. Moses said, what doth the Lord require of thee? To fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Praise God when we have purpose in our lives. Anybody heard of Chris Stapleton? Come on, folks. No, he's obscure. I don't know how these things come across my path, but I write them down because they're so pertinent, you know. Anyway, this guy, Chris Stapleton, is he's a country music singer. No, I'm not really a country music fan per se. You know, I remember I'm from Jamaica. But But a friend of mine did tell me about a funny country music song that I listened to and I laughed. It's the one about the guy who loves to go fishing. And man, every time his wife wanted to do something, he's gone fishing. So one day she gave him an ultimatum. Listen, it's either me or fishing. So the guy pauses for a little while and he says, I'm gonna miss her. Anybody else heard that song? I thought that was funny. Happy wife, happy life. Leave them fish alone. Anyhow, let's get back on track. So this guy, Chris Stapleton, he's a country music singer, and his debut album hit the Billboard charts, and he got rave reviews and won several awards. So I began to read up about him, and the title track on his album is entitled Traveler. Traveler. And I looked at the song and I read the words. Listen to what the words of this song said. Now, this went to number one on the charts. Millions of these things sold. I don't know if you buy records anymore. I'm so out of the loop, I don't even know. I think you download. I don't know what you do, but they make money. And this guy made money. So here is the words from this song, Traveler, that hit the charts and did so well and made this guy all this money. I see the sunrise creeping in. Everything changes like the desert wind. Here she comes and then she's gone again. I'm just a traveler on this earth, sure as my heart's behind the pocket of my shirt. I'll just keep rolling till I'm in the dirt, because I'm a traveler, oh, I'm a traveler. I couldn't tell you, honey, I don't know where I'm going, but I've got to go, because every turn reveals some other road, and I'm a traveler, oh, I'm a traveler. My heartbeat's rhythm is a lonesome sound, just like the rubber turning on the ground. Always lost and nowhere bound. When I'm gone, somebody else will have to feel this wrong. Somebody else will have to sing this song. Somebody else will have to sing along. And I read that and I said, why in the world would anybody buy a record like that? No, seriously. Why would anybody listen to that, or dance to that, or drink to that? And the answer came to me, it's because they identify with that song. That's why they buy it, and they listen to it, and they dance to it, and they drink to it. And to summarize the theme of this song, I only need two words. No purpose. No purpose. But he made millions of dollars with that song. So many poor souls out here have no purpose in life. And so someone comes along and pens the words and attaches a catchy tune and off they go and make money. But we who know the Lord are so blessed and fortunate because we can have a purpose-driven life living for the Lord. But it requires consistency. Galatians 6:9 says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Direction will only be revealed after we have dedicated our lives to Christ. And then the third and last essential is dependence. If we want to foster consistency, we must develop dependence. And this dependence is upon the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was on earth, he said, listen, it's necessary or expedient for you that I go away. Because if I go not away, then the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you that he may abide with you and in you forever. So when Jesus left this earth at the ascension, he didn't leave us alone. He sent the Holy Spirit. And on the day that you trust Jesus Christ as Savior and you're born again, the Holy Spirit of God himself in the person of the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside your life, in your body. Isn't that wonderful? And then he is now the paraclete. Jesus used the word comforter. It means the one who goes alongside to help. And so I must depend on him. If I try to do everything in my own strength, in my own time, in my own wisdom, I'll fail. But when I depend on the Spirit of God, then the consistency is moving right along like cruise control. Dependence. So we have dedication. What's the second one? Direction. And what's the third one? Dependence. Dependence. Even when the tough times come, we can depend on the Lord in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who has been given unto us. So that's why he's in us. We can depend on him. We can be empowered by him. But you know why so many Christians get frustrated? Because they're still going with the flesh. In other words, when we were out there in the flesh, we knew that we were having a good time because of how we felt. In other words, everything was dependent on how we felt. I don't like this place because it doesn't make me feel good. I don't like to use this because it doesn't make me feel good. So when we become Christians, we think that when the Spirit of God fills us, we're going to feel something. We don't live by feelings, we live by faith. And that is why Christians get frustrated, because they're expecting to feel something. And when they don't feel anything in a place like Beacon Baptist Church, they go somewhere else where the people drum up all kinds of emotions. And then when they come out of church, they say, "Man, I feel good." The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by feelings. So what I want to tell you this morning is, don't depend on feelings. Just trust the Lord as to what he says. Yield in obedience to him. Depend upon the Comforter. And then step out by faith. And then God is obligated to empower you and use you. Once you experience the Lord working through you, your consistency will increase. 1202. Didn't do too bad today. You have all trained me very well. So that's the message. That's the message. It's a practical message for all of us. Amen? I want to make sure that when you leave here this morning, you have something to kind of chew on, to talk about when you're eating dinner later on, when you're eating lunch. Practicality. This is where I can make a difference in my life, and this is how consistency can come about. And I want to give you a little secret that has worked in my life. I've tried to always have a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy in my life over the last 40 years. A Paul is somebody who is older than I am, who can kind of be there when I need some counsel, when I need some advice and direction spiritually. I'm running out of my Pauls, though. Time is catching up with all of us. Then I want a Barnabas in my life. A Barnabas is a good, close friend who I can share everything with. We can be honest with one another. We can encourage one another. We can be there to say, "Listen, this is where I'm struggling. Hey, this is where I'm struggling." And we pray for one another. And then I want a Timothy in my life. Somebody that I can pour my life into. Because when that happens, I am bound to make sure that I'm living a clean life, so that I can set an example for my Timothy. Somebody that I can disciple, because there's coming a day when I won't be here. Us older ones won't be here. I see so many young people in this church, but then I see so many of us with a gray hair. We have to depend on you to take the banner from us and keep on going. And for some of you young people where you have no idea what God has for you, try this. Try this. If you've never dedicated your life to the Lord, just do it. And just say, "Lord, I dedicate my life to you." But you know why a lot of young people don't want to do that? Because the Lord might send them to the mission field. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. So that we can be used. Because let me tell you, when this life is over and we stand before the Lord, we want to know that when he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," it's because we completed the purpose that he had for us. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10 when it comes to consistency, I am at a, and it's not a favorable number. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, I'm a crawler. There was a time when I had dedicated my life, but I crawled off, to be honest with you. Well, the message is for you, the message is for me, the message is for us. Just like how a lot of people take for granted God's blessing upon the United States, sometimes we as Christians take for granted the blessings of God upon our lives. But for all the privileges, we have a responsibility, and that is to live for Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.